are you going?
You going to pick a fight?
Well, I didn't get dressed up or nothing.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Stealing my song there. All right. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's been a while since we've been here. 14th of March. It's Monday. Wow, what a week. We had a lot of things going on. Did a lot of traveling. Had some stuff that, it just had to be taken care of. And I just happened to be the one that got elected to take care of it. But we're back. This week should be relatively normal. And the following week, I don't know. The last 2 weeks of the month are up in the air right now, but this week we should complete as normal. So I will get the podcast caught up this week. I will, that's the biggest thing. We'll have shows on regularly and I'll get the podcast caught up, and then I should know by the end of the week what's going to be coming up the following week. So stay tuned for all of that. John Fish, no, I am not live tonight. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go. Doc, no. Yeah, well, you know one thing about it? If I did go to 1911 school, it definitely does take a full week for those intricate little things with all the little parts and pieces and gadgets and gizmos and bells and whistles and springs and little detents and balls. And all, yeah, we can do the Glock class, complete Glock class, in 8 hours thoroughly, because there's just not that much to them, and they work. Okay, let's move on here. At the bottom of the hour, I'm gonna have to take a little break, and during that little break, I'm going to let you listen to Jeanette Finnicum and a deal that she did this weekend. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And a new song that's just come out about... We are not going to let Lavoie die in vain. As I told you the week before last, there's going to be something every show from now on about Lavoie. It may only be a, It may only be a 5 second, 2 second thing. It may be a 30 minute deal. I don't know.
You can tell them about your little airport escapade.
But we're not going to let that go away. So what happened over the weekend, over the week, we had to, I went up to Northern Arizona and got it on an airplane going from one place to another. I didn't like doing that. This is one of those times when, you know, the risk versus reward thing, and I just didn't have a choice, so I had to get on the airplane. And I can assure you of one thing. It will be a matter of national security, life or death, before I do it again. This is the first time I've been on an airplane since 2005. It's been 11 years. And with any luck, I hope it's at least 11 years before I do it again. So, what happened, and I was flying with Mrs. Finnegan, and we got out there and bought the tickets online and got up to the ticket counter, and they said, okay, here's your ticket, and they gave her hers. And I gave them my ID, and they're going through all this stuff, and they gave me back my ID, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and we're waiting, and he's doing stuff, and he's watching the computer, and he picked up the phone, and he said, let me see your ID again. What's your middle name? Well, that ain't one. So he gives me back my ID after a little while, and he's watching and talking, and so finally he gives me my tickets and says, go forth and on your way. So got up to the, went through the security, went through TSA. As it wound up, I am now officially on the domestic terrorist list. I was rated 4S, which means I think secondary security screening selectee or something like that. So they go through all this, have to take my boots off, they go through all this stuff, you know, I had to power up all my electronic devices, I had to everything, they smelled my chapstick. I mean, this was just stupid. But and they had to fondle me and play with me and everything to get me through the line and like that. But they got done and they said, okay, you pass. I got right up to the gate, to the boarding gate, and they wouldn't let me on. So we sat there, and plane's about ready to leave, so she has to get on there, and left me standing there, one unhappy camper. Well, after they got it worked out, they got me another ticket to fly to the same place, but to arrive there 4 hours later. And I said, well, I can't do that. It's going to be too late. So anyway, as it turned out, I was able to get another flight and go to where I wanted to go and get there at a time that was suitable for what needed to be done. And that was that. So I've traveled a lot this last week. Did a lot of driving. I probably drove, I probably drove a little over 2,000 miles and flew about 1,000 miles, but I made it home. So, Queso, glad to see you in here, man. It's been a long time. Welcome. Need to come around more often, Nevada. Been glad to see you in here. Who else? What are the new guys we got here? Let's check and see real quick, see what's going on. Two Hoofer. Good to see you. I don't think I've seen you maybe one other time before. Big Ear Dave, you're going to be a regular fixture. A lot of the regulars here. And Handful of Anonymous. Radio Doc, looks like you had to change the spelling of your name to get in there. All right, good deal. I'm glad y'all made it tonight. And welcome also to all of those that are not in the chat room, that are out there listening to streams and whatever. So, one of the things that I did this weekend is I accompanied the Finicums up to St. George, Utah, where they did their news conference, their press conference thing. We're going to play one of those here in a minute in the question answer. I had to do a couple of them, actually. We had went up there two consecutive days. Queso, no, you didn't tell me about that. And anyway, we had a good time up there. It was the news media was pretty receptive and pretty sympathetic to what was going on. I'm going to tell you, try as they may, the feds are having a difficult time defeating the court of public opinion here. If D. Schutz made it in here, glad to see Viking Smith and a bunch of new ones coming up here. Or not new, but just haven't seen you for a little while. So the court of public opinion for the Finicum case is immense. It's awesome. And as long as everything keeps going well and she doesn't do like another popular figure did here a couple of years ago and say something that ruined a lot of that, which she won't, because she's very well coached. She's very receptive to the instruction that she gets, and I think that everything's going very well. Nothing that you're hearing tonight is anything that's not common knowledge. I wouldn't risk anything for nothing in the world. So just be aware that you're not getting anything that hasn't already been out there in some manner. So another thing we did, we went to the Doc One. No, it wasn't exactly random. One of the things that they say they do random checks, and actually they do, because I witnessed a couple of them while I was up there. Mine was not random. It was the fact that there's three big things. There's actually several, but there's three big things that will get you checked or possibly on the 4S list. And that is buying your ticket within 24 hours of departure, paying cash for your ticket, and not buying, just buying a one-way ticket. Well, I did two of the three things. And I'm sure that was not all. I'm sure with the history and everything else that's been going on, I know for a fact that the FBI listens to this radio show. I was informed of that by an FBI agent 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, something like that. And so with all those things, I figure that they just thought, well, this would be a good time to make things inconvenient and everything, which they did a very good job of. I'll commend them for that. They did make things very inconvenient for me. But we got through it. It wasn't the end of the world, and we moved on. So another thing we did in went to a cattle sale last week, and everything went exceedingly well at this cattle sale. And there are people now that just walk. They see Mrs. Finicum walking down the street at wherever. And they recognize her, and they come up and they give her a hug, and they tell her how sorry they are for her and everything. There are a lot of very genuine, very thoughtful, sympathetic people out there, and I don't think that's going to change for a long, long time. So it was heartwarming. It was fun. went to the cattle sale, and there's a couple people there that she walks out of there. She got paid for her cattle, and people recognized, stopped her, and talked to her for a little bit. So it was a lot of fun, and I think this is something that she's having a little bit of a hard time getting used to. Going from a pretty simple farm girl enjoying her life to being thrust into all of this, but nevertheless, she's handling it well. She's got good advice, advisors, and everything, so it's working out real well. So we'll see what happens here over the next, over the next 90 days, I think, is going to be extremely interesting. So, you know, I'm gonna get someone to dig something up here for you. It's gonna take me just a second to grab it. I forgot about this one, but I'll find it here. Most Ricky Tick. It might be right there. No, it is not right there. I don't think. No. Nope. Well, I'll find it here shortly. It's a, okay, we're getting closer. There's that one. There's that one. And, you know, there's several things, but this may be a late show. There's a couple other things I got to talk to you about. And a couple things that I am not at all impressed with. All right, this one right here, this was not very long, a couple of minutes here, 2.5 minutes. This video is Lavoie Finicum, Lavoie and Jeanette's youngest daughter, Tien. They hide nothing. It's wide open. It's on YouTube. So there's nothing that I'm giving away here. As soon as this girl opened her mouth, she reminded me of her daddy. First word, just chills run down my spine. And this little girl is, I think she's 17. And what an amazing young lady she is. Stand by 1 second. Stand by here just a minute. We're going to play this, and we'll come back and talk about it in just a second. Here you go. Tien Finicum.
If you don't know me, I'm Lavoie's youngest daughter, Tien Finicum. And I'm out here on the ranch, and while I was riding, checking on the cows, a few thoughts came to my mind, and I thought I should share them with you. The first one is about a comment people would tell me after my dad's death. And they'd say that I have a great legacy to live up to now. Thought about that, I realized I'm not the only one that has a legacy to live up to. We, the American people, have the Founding Fathers' legacy to live up to. Our Founding Fathers died for our freedoms. They created our freedoms. Well, not created, but they secured our freedoms. And many men back then gave their lives. For these past few generations, we have not lived up to that legacy. We have let the knowledge of the Constitution and of our forefathers be brushed to the side. So I ask you, America, to pick up the Constitution, to learn of our forefathers, the true forefathers, and know what our true freedoms are. Second thing I'd like to share with you today is my dad's quote. I'm sure all of you have heard it. And he said, there's few things in this world worth dying for. Freedom's one of them. I'm here to tell you today, America, that I stand by that, and I stand with him. I'm willing to fight and defend our freedoms and to die for them. And I ask you, America, to stand with me. Put aside our differences. Put aside our bickerings. And stand for what really matters. Stand for the freedom of this country. So, learn of the knowledge of the Constitution and stand on it. Stand with me and stand with our families. Do not let what happened and what's happened for years go without reckoning. Thank you, America. Have a good day.
All right, there you go. 17 years old. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she's talking about. She did that out at the ranch. No script, no nothing. And she's out there by herself and made that video here, middle of last week, towards the end of the week. So, anyway, she, it looks like B2 Basics already seen it. Yeah, that was, it's Yakima Glock, you heard it too. You can damn sure hear LaVoy in her voice. No question about it. If you've ever heard LaVoy at all, you just heard him again right there. She speaks very well. She does it herself, of course. And anyway, so getting on another subject here for a minute. If you guys watched this, well, you'll hear it in the. In the cotton picking press conference here, we're going to play in a minute. And the results of the private autopsy have not been released yet. However, she did agree that with the feds autopsy, the public autopsy, if you will, it was, she did agree that he was shot 3 times in the back. And, that's all as far as the autopsy goes. That's all that I can share with you. I've seen it, the private one and all of that. But, she did agree to that, or I wouldn't have told you that much. The important thing about the 3 shots in the back is the angle at which the shots went in, and that I won't discuss with you right now. That'll come sometime later, whenever her attorney says it's okay to release that, and I don't expect it's going to be for quite a while. But now, did they shoot him in the back while he was standing there? Well, not exactly. It was the manner in which he turned and moved and everything, but nevertheless, the shots were in the back. So, unfortunate as it was, there's several other things. And actually, just this morning, I learned of some more stuff that is exceedingly crucial to this. And it's one of those things, you know. Right now, I can't share it. But let me just tell you this: there is a whole bunch of stuff out there. That some that has not been shared with you by the feds, others that does not jive with what the feds have shared. Now, I'm sure you could probably figure a lot of that out for yourself, but I can tell you that it is, there's a lot. It's a lot of things that don't match up. So, for those of you that have not been keeping up with this, there's at least 2 FBI agents, and actually I think the official story is that there's 5 FBI agents that are probably going to be thrown under the bus for shots that they could not account for, actually shots that they did not admit to shooting. And so that caused the Deschutes County Sheriff some heartburn while he was trying to investigate this. And I'll tell you, everybody keeps talking about whether he had a 9mm in his pocket or not, and did he reach for it? Everybody says they you know, not everybody, but a few people agree that he was reaching for a gun. Well, I'm going to tell you, at this point, by the time, at the point that he looked like he may have been reaching for it, is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It don't matter if he had nine guns. It don't matter if he had one in his hand at that point. It's totally irrelevant. It become illegal. It become a matter of self-defense when he started to drive away from the first time they were stopped. Listen to Shauna Cox's video. There were, I don't remember, a couple of shots before he even moved. He moved because he was being shot at. And, yeah, okay, so you got it, brother. That's right. He moved because he was being shot. What are you going to do? Just open the door and get out when they're shooting at you? How stupid would that be? So, and he was not taking anybody against their will. It was agreed upon unanimously from three other people that were in there, yeah, let's go. And they prepared for the ride. And Elderberry, no, they have not accounted for the bullet. They have not discussed it one bit, for the bullet that ended up in Ryan Bundy's shoulder. That hasn't been talked about at all. We had the one yellow belly dive out right at the beginning there before Lavoie took off. The next thing they did is they were shooting out. Here they are shooting at a truck that they're not even sure, probably, who all is in the truck. And they are damn sure, if they did know, they are absolutely positive that at least two of them were 100% innocent. They were not sure that at least two of the three people that were with him were not hostages. And of course they weren't. We know that. But they didn't know that. They alluded to it afterwards. So they're shooting at a truck blindly from the back at no particular target in particular, just shooting. And the truck's driving away. So that right there in itself, if nothing else happened, that was reason enough for him to pull a gun. Now, of course, he didn't. But that was reason enough. He was in self-defense. It was certainly reason enough to drive away. As he was approaching the roadblock, they're shooting at him again. At least three shots. Now I can tell you that I know quite a bit more than about what happened at that point, but at least three shots. They are shooting at a truck that they have no earthly idea who is in it, except that they know Lavoie is driving. And they're blazing away at it. He pulls up, cuts it hard to the left, and then cuts it harder after that dipstick moron fed jumped out in front of him. It probably wasn't a fed. It was probably a OSP officer. I'm not sure. But that's right, Elderberry. That's another problem about Mark McConnell. That's a whole new story right there. So now at that point, we have a couple of rounds coming in from the side that weren't accounted for. At least a couple. Now, there's also a video out there where somebody went out there and found some bullets in the trees out beyond there. So we know that there were more rounds fired than the official claim. We also know that there were snowmobile tracks around the roadblock area, and we know that there were tree limbs cut away to clear fields of fire. We know that the roadblock that they set up was against DOJ policy, against their standards. It was an illegal roadblock to start with. It was not a traffic stop. Okay, we already know all that. So they're shooting at him again. Now, he says when they get out, when he gets out, that he's saying, shoot me, shoot me. It wasn't shoot me, shoot me. It was shoot me. Now, there's a difference in the inflection of the voice there. Because you know they're shooting at a truck full of innocent people. He dives out and heads away from the truck and saying, shoot me! Meaning, don't shoot the guys in the truck, shoot me! And people keep saying that that is a you know, suicide by cop. And no. There was, and I made a meme for it the other day, saying that, shoot, I can't even think of it now, but greater love hath no man, and then I stopped it right there and showed LaVoy lying in the snow. And he was trying to protect the people in the truck. So he had every reason to reach for a gun. And at that point, it made no difference if he had a gun, whether he was reaching for one, whether it was his, somebody else's, whether it was stolen, whether it was a 9mm or 45, doesn't matter. At that point, the cops have done everything wrong that they can possibly do wrong. He had every right at that point to defend himself, but he didn't. I've got to, I have a conference I have to be in right now for just a few minutes. There's a couple of things I'm going to play for you while I'm away. I'll be sitting here paying attention to what's going on. You guys stay with me. And we're going to let you listen to the news conference here with Jeanette Finnicum. And then there is a new song out that most of you probably hadn't heard. The guy done an excellent job with it. And it's probably not one that most of you have heard yet. And so when this is done, I'll be back. So stay with me. This was in St. George, Utah on the 9th. Out in front of the county building, I believe it was.
Hi again.
They got everything before and after there. So, all right, here you go.
All right, well, I want to thank you all again for coming out here today. Really appreciate it. So Jeanette has another statement she's going to read for you today. And then after that, we will take some Q&A after that, some questions and answers. So Jeanette, go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday, a tag team of law enforcement officers announced they have found that the Oregon officer who shot my husband dead while he had his hands in the air was justified. These officials announced that without a doubt, the officer who killed my husband did so to protect himself and his fellow officers from imminent harm. I know my husband, Robert LaVoy Finnicum, and I knew him on the day he died. With his hands in the air, he was no longer a threat or danger to anyone. He intended no imminent harm. He was giving himself up in order to divert shooters from the others in the truck. Right down to the very last act of his life, he was giving for others. That was my husband. That was the man who the panel of investigators concluded was responsible for the situation in which he was killed in a well-planned ambush. My family and I reject the biased, whitewashed findings and conclusion reported yesterday. My lawyers have assured me that the men who ambushed my husband, who set him up for death, who assassinated him, will face justice in a court before an unbiased jury that will be deciding whether my husband was killed by a wrongful action or omission on the part of the police. That action will be joined with an action based on violation of the Due Process Clause of the United States Constitution, the very document for which my husband gave his life. That is a Civil Rights Act claim. Prior to yesterday, the FBI held the position that my husband was shot during a traffic stop. That was such a stretch from the truth that even the tag team news conference group could not repeat it. There was no traffic stop. This was an ambush by use of a dead man's blockade designed to allow a kill stop, a roadblock on a blind curve on an almost abandoned road. Those officers at the roadblock were the last line available to block the truck LaVoy drove to assure that he was killed. In our wrongful death and civil rights violation lawsuit, we will prove the kind of man my husband was, and that as a leading spokesman of this movement to restore the U.S. Constitution and our unalienable rights, he had to be made an example of. Don't interfere if we as law enforcers, officers, are depriving someone of their rights, property and person. Is this what Americans believe? Or is this the kind of fear tactics despots in the Middle East have used for centuries when they place crucifixes along the highway to strike fear into their slaves? Don't you dare oppose our unjust laws, or this is what will happen to you. I don't think so. Not in America. I still believe we are governed by the same constitution that our founders created and that we are a republic, one nation under God. Yesterday, as before, the officers set up a false scenario that my husband was reaching for a loaded gun as he was shot. Before yesterday's selectively edited video showing we saw the uncut version. In that uncut version, we see my husband with his hands up, walking away from the truck, and not reaching for anything when a man to the right of the video obviously fired some projectile at him. Immediately, he leaned over to his left hip area where it appeared some projectile hit him. At that moment, shots rained down upon him and he died there in the snowbank, where he lay for 10 minutes without anyone checking to see whether he was alive. They let him lay there because they knew that the 3 shots into the back had killed him. My attorneys have already begun to assemble a team, a trial team of investigators, paralegals, videographers, and writers to make sure that the man who shot my husband in the back and all those who were accomplices will face justice. They will soon be filing the Oregon 30.275 notice that precedes a lawsuit for wrongful death and civil rights violations. At least twice yesterday, the officials blamed my husband for being solely responsible for what happened at the site where he was ambushed. Again, my attorneys assure me that we can show differently, even with yesterday's law enforcement whitewash. This tag team said that the officers on the scene where the killing took place were there putting themselves in harm's way as part of an effort to bring the situation at the refuge to an end peacefully. This statement is consistent with the goal law enforcement announced from the beginning of this case. Let's just get them out of refuge building peacefully to the outside where we can talk. If they had been telling the truth on January 26th, they could easily have achieved their goal. They knew from an informant inside the refuge that all but 4 of the people inside the refuge would be leaving for several hours. That included the long trip to John Day, the meeting with Sheriff Glenn Palmer, and the rancher's workshop that evening on the original intent of the Constitution. So I ask, why didn't the officers pull the roadblock and let the group go out peacefully to John Day? Why didn't they choose to arrest him while at the sheriff's office? If they had done that, this case would have been put in the books with a peaceful ending they now claim they wanted. In fact, the Harney County Sheriff had every opportunity during their stay at the Malheur Refuge to make a peaceful arrest during the numerous conversations they had had with them in Burns. My lawyers believe we can show that this was not their goal because there is no better evidence than their intent, of their intent, than their actions. So when the officials said yesterday that my husband was solely responsible for the situation and happening of his death, they were spreading their whitewash with a very broad brush. Yesterday was one of the tag teams said that my husband chose to break the law, chose to put himself and other people in danger, and then chose to enter into a face-to-face confrontation with armed police officers. My lawyers have already discussed with me how the facts will show that the officers intended to shoot Lavoie, how an informant arranged for him to be in the lead truck, how the officers started shooting at the truck to force it to stop, and then finally how my husband gave himself up in order to draw attention away from the others left in the truck. Contrary to what the panel of officials found, my husband was not responsible for the situation that ended with his death. He was not the one who blockaded the road with the dead man's blockade. He was not the one responsible for officers armed with long guns firing from behind trees. He was not the one who chose to block himself and his friends from leaving the refuge to go out to John Day. He was not the one who lined armed personnel all along the roadway from the refuge to the blockade. No, all those actions can be laid at the feet of the officials who spoke of their innocence yesterday. They will not have to explain their actions in preliminary hearing or at trial because their actions were glossed over. Law officers will take care of their own, I was told. But I still had faith in the system my husband fought to protect. I was wrong. We had no chance at justice in this investigation of law enforcement by officers by other law enforcement officers. More like the fox guarding the hen house. But in a wrongful death action coupled with a civil rights action, the shooters and their partners will make sure that the officers involved will face the same kind of music enjoyed yesterday at our expense. Yesterday, the panel said that the troopers knew that Mr. Finnecombe carried a weapon on his left side, that Mr. Finnecombe was reaching for a loaded 9mm gun when the troopers lawfully used deadly force to protect themselves and others, including the trooper armed with a taser. You all have seen the video where it shows the trooper with a gun or taser to the right of the screen as you look towards the screen. You see my husband lean over to his left hip area, immediately where he grabs for the place he was hit. The gunman turns his back on my husband and runs. Isn't it strange that a law officer turns his back on a person he believes to be heavily armed? No, strange. It is not strange if he knew that his partner had intended to shoot him in the back. We believe they will have a hard time squaring their actions with Attorney General's statements when we next get into court. My attorneys tell me that we will have to get past the motion to dismiss the civil rights action, which is a motion often governed by intangibles such as, does the action of the state shock the conscience? The media have called my husband a lot of names that are foreign to the peaceful and extraordinary father of our children that I knew. We must now ask the question, who are the real domestic terrorists here? We believe that this kill stop staged by government agents was barbaric. That their whitewash of this horrific incident is more worthy of an Academy Award-winning film in a fiction category than that unbiased American citizens will have their conscience shocked by the government agent's conduct in. Number one, arranging for embedding an informant among those in the house on the basis of the informant's information, they set up a dead man's blockade and an intentional killing. Two, they shot at the truck in an effort to prevent it from leaving peacefully. Three, they shot at the truck after it came to a halt. Four, then they shot my husband, the father of our 11 children, as he moved away from the truck with both his hands in the air. Five, at the time, he was seen to reach down and bend down to his left as though he had been shot or hit with a bullet or taser ray. Six, as he bent down and then tried to straighten back up, he was shot three times in the back and died. I believe, and my family believes, and my lawyers believe, that this evidence will shock the conscience. And I thank you for coming.
Cowboy. Freedom isn't. Stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you. No matter how it ends, it matters how you stand.
There you go. That was the latest and absolutely, in my mind, the very best song done by outside artists about LaVoy's death. I loved that song. It was Brian Elmore. And I'll put a link to that video in here for you. Man, what a good song. I really like that. Okay, B2 Basic, tell Scout that my conference didn't go so well. My call dropped twice. I just finally gave up. So just let him know that did the best I could do here. All right, let me grab that link. I want to put that in the chat room for everybody. And you can... listen to that on your own at your leisure here. Let's see. Let me make sure I'm not getting any. Okay. Let me make sure I'm getting a response there. All right. There's the link for that. Okay. I had about 40,000 stories to do here. Wow. After being gone all this time, some of them are just going to be so outdated. We're not even gonna mess with them here. Let me run over here to the treasure chest where I keep all of the little bits and pieces, little jewels of information that we store here, and see if I can drag a couple of them out for this last little bit. Come on. There's actually several. There'll be a time here probably... Well, I can't tell you exactly when. I will be able to share some more stuff with you. But it's going to be a little bit before we can do that. Actually, it looks like it's going to be a little bit before my cotton picking stuff comes up here. So, all right, come on. Let's get a move on here. Too many things opened up. Too much stuff going on. Too busy here. All right. Oh, let me forget these stories, man. Let me share something else with you right now. You remember... That you remember we talked about what the heck is his name? That pastor that we talked about here a week or so ago. It's been probably 2 weeks now. He's pretty popular, but my mind is just a freaking mess right now, so I can't remember his name. But any other time I could. But there's another one here, and you guys, many of you will remember his name. You'll know who he is. You'll know who I'm talking about. And a lot of you are probably a fan of his. Well, I no longer am. And that is Wild Bill. Wild Bill come up with his own version of what happened to LaVoy. And it was despicable. It was pathetic. It was a lie. And then I found out why, and that's because, mainly, I believe, because Wild Bill has 20 years of law enforcement experience, and he sees this from the same point of view that some of the cops that were there. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot of cops out there, a lot of career officers that do not see it that way. There are many, many of them out. As a matter of fact, I have not heard yet of one other than Wild Bill. I have not heard of one that didn't see that just the way that we do. Cold-blooded murder. Ambush. The whole nine yards, just like us. Same thing. Wild Bill don't see it that way. He talked about LaVoy having PTSD, wanting to, you know, suicide by cop. He said all this was lays squarely on Lavoie's shoulders for being to blame for this. So did some of the other cops from the, oh, actually it was the FBI that said that during the news conference. They said that all this lies squarely on Lavoie's shoulders. I'm going to tell you what. Lavoie was the only one that got shot. But I'm going to tell you, I wasn't there, and I don't know. I didn't hear everything that was said. But I got money that says that had it not been for Lavoie, that it may have gone much, much worse than what it was. Lavoie was the coolest of cool, the coolest of heads that I've ever been around in my life. He was... stand by 1 second here. And so there's no telling how many lives may have been saved because Lavoie did what he did. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I am no longer a fan of Wild Bill. Nevada, you're right. Wild Bill is all about Wild Bill. He's making money on his YouTube channel. And that, unfortunately, that has happened to a lot of people. It's happened to Stuart Rhodes. As much as I used to think of him, it's some of my respect for Stuart Rhodes has declined because of his commercialism of everything. So, and I think a lot of the Oath Keeper followers have, there's a lot of mixed opinions and mixed thoughts, mixed loyalties in within the Oath Keepers now. You know, good and bad. So anyway. I'll find that Tundra Boar and welcome, brother. I'm glad you made it in here. I haven't seen you for a little while. Let me see if I can find that real quick for you, because I would like for you to read it or hear it. And I'll see if I can put that in the chat room real fast for you. It shouldn't take me but a second to find it. Let's see if that'll do it there. The whole thing was just astounding to me. And there's an update here that I have not heard yet from Wild Bill, and I'll listen to it before I say anything about it. I don't know where that is exactly. So anyway, I won't waste any more time looking for it, but we'll definitely talk about it a little bit more probably tomorrow. Now, on a completely different subject, kind of. I say kind of because I think the feds may have been involved in this one too. But did you hear about the bomb sniffing dog that found the two Hellfire missiles that were on their way to Portland? Yeah, true story. Associated Press put it out here. I'm assuming it's true anyway. They found two AGM-114 missiles in, I think it was in, let's see, a flight from Lebanon to Syria bound for Portland, Oregon. They're saying now that there's an update to it that says they were used for training and did not contain any explosives. So let me ask you why the bomb-sniffing dogs found them. Were they live at one time that they disassembled to make training deals out of them? The dogs alerted to it, so there must have been something that caused them to... Maybe they were... BB Burner, thank you. I see BB Burner put that up there. Mama Grizzly, you made it in. Thank you. I'm welcome. Glad you made it. You're almost too late. We're about to sign off here, but you found it anyway, so hopefully we'll get you in here again. We'll be back tomorrow night at the same time. You might like Amy's show, my wife's show also. She'll be in tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. She does a show from 7 to 8, our new time here in Arizona. And then mine starts at 8 o'clock Pacific time, or what is now Arizona time. So hopefully you'll come back and join us, but we're just fixing to crawl out of here right now. And I think that we've got some new people in here, so I need to play something. You guys that are regulars may be getting tired of this, but I just can't think of anything that is more appropriate at this time than to finish the show with this deal that I made here a couple of years ago. Actually, I made it, hell, it was more like 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And it still holds as true now, truer now than it did then. If this doesn't sum up everything that has happened with the Lavoie-Finicum case, I can't imagine how you could have done or said anything any more fitting for that. So I'm going to sign off after this. It's going to run me just a little bit over. It's a little over 5 minutes long. But a lot of you have not heard this yet. So I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with Amy's show, Living Way Out Here, at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern, on the Survival Circle Network. And then the Shooting Bench immediately following Living Way Out Here. And with that being said, I'm out of here. My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. you will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.